Welcome to another edition, another exciting episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies, or as I now call it, the Talking Pictures Podcast. Why am I smiling
today? That's the sad subtitle.
Why am I smiling today? I am smiling because we are being joined by Lisa Rossman.
Hello, hello, hello.
We've answered your cards and letters. She's here.
There you go. And we have Bill Brigoli as well.
And I really did come from my therapist. And the bill right here.
Oh, wow. Mine is on vacation.
He brought a bill from his therapist. You bring a note.
Are you giving it directly to Neil? Neil, pay this.
I just came from my barber.
Yes.
I'm the only one you can tell anything's been done to.
That's Bill McCuddy.
Neil, you're just telling us that you just came braving the throngs.
Yeah, we're starting a little late.
I couldn't get down the street because Trump is in Trump Tower. We taped this on a Tuesday, and they're just not letting people cross the street. There's a line of sanitation trucks in front of Trump Tower to prevent, I guess if they want to throw some kind of explosive, it would only hurt the garbage.
By the way, I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday, but continue.
Wednesday, I'm saying Wednesday. I'm sorry.
We taped our TV show on Tuesdays.
And Lisa's here, and I'm in the frame of mind that we tape on Tuesday, but it is Wednesday. But anyway.
Okay, I'm Kevin in your ear right now. Let's move it along. Come on, hurry up. Let's go.
All right, so we're going to talk. Here's what we're talking about today. We're talking about The Hitman's Bodyguard, which Bill Brigoli has seen. He's going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Patty Cakes, which Lisa Rossman has seen. And
can't wait to see that. That's
that.
On my. Aren't we going to talk about what we're looking forward to?
And we're going
to
talk about what we're looking forward
Patty
to.
Patty Cakes is
out.
On my list.
But
spoiler
before
alert.
Before we start, I want to talk about an actor that passed away last week that, you know, not high profile, but man, was this guy funny. And his name was Joe Bologna, and he was married to Renee Taylor. And they wrote this really great play that became a really funny movie with Diane Keaton and Gig Young, and it was called Lovers and Other Strangers. And, you know, it's very hard to find. If you go on Amazon to buy it, it's like $50 for a DVD, and they don't run it on YouTube. But it is a very, very funny movie, and it's the guy who played Clemenza, Richard Castellano, was in it, and so was Bea Arthur, and it's about... It's very 70s. I think it's like 1970, but it's kind of a time capsule. But the laughter is still there. Joe Bologna and Renee Taylor, his wife, wrote it. It's funny. And one of the funniest experiences, I've never laughed this hard in my life in a Broadway theater or anywhere. I mean, I was literally, you know, somebody, I was laughing so hard, I was crying. I really was crying of laughter. It's a play they wrote called It Had to Be You. And they starred in it, Joe Bologna and Renee Taylor on Broadway. And Joe Bologna plays this casting agent, and he's seeing all these people for auditions, and she's the last one of the day, and she's out of her mind. She's out of her fucking mind, and they get stuck in the apartment because there's a snowstorm and there's no cabs, and he's just stuck with her all night, and I just couldn't stop laughing. I interviewed them once upon a time for that show. He was a delightful guy. Most people
they did
him.
Another stage show together that they wrote, I think, called If You Ever Leave Me, I'm Going With You.
Right, that was kind of like a compendium, a highlight of many of their
of
other
their
shows.
Bits
I think
and things.
That scene that made me cry of laughter was in that. But, you know, most people know Joe Bologna from in My Favorite Year from
right,
playing the Sid Caesar character.
Right.
And
which, by the way, is much more rentable. And if you can't find what you were talking about, I would encourage anybody to look at that film.
And he's also known from this really good Michael Caine Joe Bologna film where they're lusting after these.
Blame It on Rio.
Blame It on Rio.
That somebody really famous like Larry Gelbart, I think, wrote. So tacky, that movie. Did you ever see that, Lisa?
I have not seen.
You would hate that movie.
Painfully hate that
An
movie.
Old guy goes down with his friend to Rio and falls in love with the friend's daughter, who's like 15 or 16.
Yes, I would
and
hate that.
And they have a sex.
The other daughter is Demi Moore.
And they blame it on Rio. No.
Yeah, seriously, be still my heart.
As politically incorrect as that is, it is a funny movie.
I would blame it on the jury when he gets back and is prosecuted for statutory rape.
Anyway, rest in peace, Joe Bologna. Moving on. We're also going to talk
today. Wait, you said you had a difficult time getting here, and I think we should talk about Trump.
Yeah, we should.
Whether
you
Charlottesville.
Like Scaramucci on Stephen Colbert. My question is, out of all the shows that Scaramucci could have done, and I think he did one of those Sunday morning news shows.
Which, in fact, was his debut, and that was sort of embarrassing to Colbert. Did you follow that? Yes, it was Stephanopoulos this week.
Right.
So did you follow that whole controversy that Colbert was bragging that he had him exclusively, and then it turns out he wasn't?
But still, why Colbert? I mean, the guy that's been attacking him for three and doing the Scaramucci imitation.
Well, I didn't see it. Did he go soft on him?
No, he didn't go soft on him, but you got to wonder from Scaramucci's standpoint. I don't know if you want to check in on this, Bill or Lisa. What do you think that he did Colbert, the guy who, you know, does his monologue every night railing against Trump?
I don't know. Meet the enemy head on. I mean, if you decided to do one and you did Fallon, everybody would have said, oh, you took the softball guy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know why you do any of them. I mean, I don't know why you don't just leave it at
He needs
separate.
A job.
I don't know.
We should go on that show.
$65 million. Yeah, we should. Well, if Stephen Colbert
He needs
would
a job, and I think he wants to show that he was in on it.
No, he didn't
get
go
ahead of his
soft
own
on
jokes.
Him. Did anybody see it other than me?
No.
He did not go soft on him. He was asking him, like, you know, very pointed questions about, you know, and he was being funny about, like, you're the shortest communications director in White House history, 10 days, and you supported Trump when he said this outrageous statement, and how can you're still supporting him now? No, I mean, it was laced with humor, but it was not a softball. It wasn't Jimmy Fallon fluffing up Donald Trump's hair, although I do give Jimmy Fallon credit the other day for doing a monologue.
Yeah, that's running wild on YouTube now. I haven't seen that either.
You know, where he did not do a comedy monologue. He just gave a three-minute thing about having young daughters, and he can't believe what's going on.
I mean,
in Charlottesville, to be clear.
In Charlottesville, yeah.
How am I going to explain this to my daughters? There was no laughter. I don't even think it was taped in front of an audience. I think he did it, with an empty audience because you didn't even hear, like, ambient noise in the background. It was just.
I hate that the cynical part of me basically will never take anything he does seriously because.
Fallon?
Yeah, because of what.
Did you see it?
No, and I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that he did it.
You see it, I know that you're being cynical and you're saying that he did it to make up.
No, I'm going to finish my sentence though. What I was going to say is, I understand that.
Not if we can help it.
Seriously, boys, like I understand that that it's cynical to have issues with him at this point if he's doing the right thing. But I do think that it's important for us to always remember that he helped pave the way to that guy's election. He really did.
I saw it, and I think if you watch it, I cannot believe that it was a calculated move to eradicate the.
My point is, I don't care.
Sincere.
Like, I'm done with
You're
him.
You're just done.
Would you go see Charlottesville, the movie?
I think right now to make any a movie is something that has to gestate for 3 to 6 months, right? Like to do anything at this point in cinema about the cultural moment we were in, I think that's the wrong way. That's the wrong medium for an artistic
response.
Okay,
but if you wait a while,
response.
Like they did for Detroit, why is Detroit bombing? Why is
Detroit
that $13
million? Detroit is bombing because it's the wrong movie. She made the wrong movie. Like she really
wrong
made
movie,
it
wrong time.
Wrong movie, wrong time. Like I think the
wrong
Detroit.
Time.
I think it's the wrong time because
you got
of how
a movie,
she made
Bill
it.
Bill and Lisa and Bill. It's cool. Charlottesville, the movie, is on television.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
The movie.
Yeah,
turn on
I think
the TV.
Cinema's the wrong medium because everything that's unfolding is happening in real time. And I'm always trying to figure out right now what is our role as cultural critics when the world, like when our country's kind of exploding around us.
So if you're
us,
trying to escape Charlottesville on the news, the last thing you go see is Detroit.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just that. I think that a lot of the issues that I've heard that people have with Detroit, which is a movie that I kind of just couldn't even bring myself to see since I hated Hurt Locker. I know I'm in the minority. But I think that she has a tendency to not fully consider every perspective on things. Like, I mean, I hate, for example, how Hurt Locker basically has an unexamined look at the hunt for Osama Obama. Nice. So I think a lot of people who would have been inclined to rally for a movie about the Detroit riots and the parallels between this cultural moment had issues with how she told that story.
I had some problems with the two, which we've talked about on this. So.
Charlottesville actually is not a movie. It's a television series. It's a horrifying television series, but it's a television series that I watch every night.
Exactly.
Where,
what you just said is
you
so
know,
true.
Where
exactly.
Trump does not say something, and then he says something, and then he takes it back. back the next day, and then I.
Well, that was pretty brave. He doesn't take shit back very often. I'm no Trump supporter, but I was very surprised by that. And then the next day, he said there were bad people on both sides of this argument.
We know the
story. And both sides, and I was like, that's the first time he said anything like that.
I got this vibe that he was in New York, and he felt like he was in, you know, like this is his turf, which was even crazier because this is the most multiracial, like integrated city in the United States. Like, I mean, I would love to see any of those white supremacists. I'm going to say motherfucker, and you can take it out. Like,
yeah, we don't take that out.
Okay, well, I would like to see any of those motherfuckers try that shit in Brooklyn. Like, seriously. Come down Bushwick Avenue. Come down Flatbush. Try it there, you assholes.
Well, anyway.
Danny Aiello will come out with Mookie, and it'll be over in 5 minutes.
I mean, F
anyway,
that.
I had problems getting to your apartment, Bill, which is right near Trump Tower, because they were locking down the streets today.
Damn.
On Wednesday. The day that he's leaving.
Leaving for golf tomorrow, I'm told. Seriously, he's going back to Bedminster starting tomorrow for the rest of his vacation.
I cry.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Hitman's Bodyguard, Bill Vergoli.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's our big movie. And I'll tell you, I've seen trailers for this thing for like 6 weeks now. And I really like the title because it's a sort of an interesting thing about something you'd never seen. So it's a little bit original. But then it looks like Sam Jackson is just boning it in. So
well,
take it
I was
from there.
By the end of the movie expecting Samuel Jackson to turn to the screen and ask me what's in my wallet.
Tell us
so
what it's
vintage
about.
Sam Jackson. Ryan Reynolds is a down on his luck bodyguard who reluctantly has to take on a client who is supposed to testify at the trial, an international trial in the Netherlands or The Hague or somewhere, of a brutal dictator. And who else do you have play the brutal dictator but good old Gary Oldman? Kind of wish he had more to do. He was actually fun to watch. And so once the Reynolds and Jackson get together, is male bonding and explosions. But it was fun. There were some moments that I don't want to give away. That
it looks
really
like
funny.
It has good action.
The action went on. Actually, when you see it in the movie, it goes on too long. I was having more fun with the banter between the guys than it was the action.
So how would you rate it? Would you
recommend
it? Oh,
I'd give it like a 6 or 7.
Right. End of the summer, kind of like...
Yeah, end of the summer,
the pop,
it's a popcorn movie.
All right. Do you have any interest, Lisa, in seeing this particular movie?
Of course not.
Okay, we don't want to disturb you from your computer and phone calls.
No. I was just trying
She's just looking up everything you say to make sure it's accurate.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay. So, Lisa...
She's fact-checking it.
So, okay, so...
Wait, okay. I just want to mention, since we're talking about Trump, that I had the... pleasure, I would call it, because I know him personally, of seeing one of the previews, the last one before the reviews of Donald Trump. Of Michael Moore.
It's like the only word we can say at this point is Trump. It's like being John Malkovich.
Well, the reason I brought it up is
so
because Moore
is basically preaching to the converted. I mean,
it's
getting
his crowd.
That show that's like in the middle.
It turns into a rally. And in fact, Mark Ruffalo and he at last night's show or the night before led people in buses to Trump Tower for the protest.
Yep,
so
a lot of my friends
literally
were there.
At the end of the show, they put people on buses who want to go from the audience and drive them over there. Yep. Yeah, it's a lot of Michael Moore stories that I'd heard before, some that I hadn't. And it's about him pretending to run for president and bringing the smartest American up versus the dumbest Canadian, and the dumbest Canadian wins the little game show they have in the middle of the show. And it's entertaining, but
piece or is a lot of it improvisational?
It is made to look improvised, but I can tell you that a lot of it is scripted, except for, you know, when he brings real people up from the audience. And it turns into a big, you know, pro Michael Moore anti-Donald Trump evening. So if that's not on your, you know, if you don't think of that as entertainment, you might not want to go.
Does he bring up Hillary Clinton at all?
He makes a lesbian joke about Hillary Clinton, which some people don't appreciate.
Does he talk about Flint, Michigan, or is that like...
He does one of the more serious things is how he talks about Flint, Michigan, how the water there you still can't drink, and how the mayor is still the mayor.
So
on a
percentage basis, how much of it is Trump and, you know, current situation?
Oh, it's all Trump, because basically everything that's wrong in the country, including Flint, can be traced back to Trump, because Trump is running the company like a...
The country like a company.
A company, and that's why they picked the new governor. And the new governor ran the state of Michigan like a company and fired mayors that didn't want to run the cities like... a company, and that's how Flint has bad water.
Here's the thing for me about Michael Moore is that he always preaches to the choir, and sometimes he's not in tune. I think that he is it's helpful to have a polemic for the left, because mostly the polemics that we have in the United States.
The alt-left.
Whatever,
my
man.
New favorite term.
I don't even want to legitimize that term by reiterating it, honestly. The thing about Michael Moore, though, is ultimately I don't like polemics, period. You know, like he does create propaganda, and even if it's for the cause with which I agree, I'm not comfortable when someone alters
with him presenting it.
Yeah, exactly. And he uses mediums that I love, like film and theater, to essentially as a platform, and what he needs is a damn pulpit.
Well, there you go. So moving on, tell me about Patty Cakes, Lisa Rossman.
Okay, this is the first movie by a dude who's mostly made music videos, and you can tell. It's about a very heavy 23-year-old white girl from Jersey who comes from a messed up family. Her mom is played by, I think her name is Bridget Everett, who if you saw her, you'd be like, oh, that lady. She's like the fat, drunk lady often in like Judd Apatow-produced comedies, and she's actually a terrific cabaret singer who I'd seen at Joe's Pub. She plays her drunk mom who used to be a heavy metal singer. And then check this out. What's the female lead from Raging Bull? You know, the blonde.
Kathy Moriarty.
Yeah, Kathy Moriarty plays the grandmother who's she's unrecognizable. Gray hair, smoking.
So how many years ago was Raging Bull? Isn't it like almost like 40 years?
1980.
Right? Yeah, so it's yeah.
Right. I told you how Kathy Moriarty was my first celebrity kiss on the lips, right?
Wow.
Who else have you kissed on the lips?
Where ABS Breaks
Robert
just
De Niro?
Replied
did you
to this
kiss
podcast.
Robert De Niro?
What the hell? How did that happen?
I interviewed her several times. The first time was a favor interview. She was the mother of Christina Ricci in some movie, and everybody.
I think kissing you was the favor, but let's.
And everybody wanted to interview Christina Ricci, and the people at Universal said, "Can you please interview Kathy? And can I say that you begged us to interview her?" And I said, "Sure." And we ended up getting along so well that at the end of the interview, she said, "I want to match up with my sister." On second thought, I want to match up with myself. She had that gravelly voice.
Wow.
And she gave me a quick peck on the lips, and there you go.
Wow.
Wow. And then
I think she's been married forever, though, hasn't she, to some guy?
Not forever. It was a few times. It was a little while. She was single when she did all that with me.
All right.
But she did marry a guy.
And
I've met her husband. He's a very nice guy.
And I've interviewed her since?
Six or seven times, yeah.
Well, I'm dying to see. Isn't she a rapper, Patty
Cakes?
Well,
yeah, this is what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Is that the daughter plays a white rapper who's basically forms this sort of unlikely rap group with her best friend, who's an Indian kid, and this goth black rocker. And
this sounds much cuter than it
is. It's not
I have
cute.
A feeling,
no, no,
right?
it's a gritty film, and my issue with it, and I have a slight issue with it, is that it has a somewhat unexamined attitude about the fact that we spend a whole movie watching a white girl rap, you know, which especially in a community that's mostly black. But I think what's good about it is how much the director loves his subjects and is basically asking us to re-examine the assumptions that we make about fat people, because not only is the daughter fat, but the whole family is. And it's really like, what kind of laziness, what kind of stupidity do we ascribe to heavy people in America, and how unjust is it?
This came out of one of the festivals and was like highly, highly, highly spun and talked about. And
yeah, this was huge at the festival. And I have a feeling some of that comes from the fact that it was actually developed in the Sundance Labs, and they do tend to get behind their own products.
Yeah.
I think the reaction to it is going to be mixed, because for one thing, as a person who truly loves hip hop, she's a shitty rapper, and I don't understand why anyone doesn't see that.
Sort of the point?
No, the point is that
she's supposed
to spit awesome rhymes, and she kind of doesn't. So I had issues with that, but I liked the film's humanity.
What is the name of the actress?
No, it's not a chick flick, honestly. And you're a chick. You're like a dick flick. Forget that.
Danielle McDonald is the one who plays Patty.
Yeah.
And
actually, this is the funny thing about that girl, is that she's Australian. And the director, I think the best thing about this film is the casting across the board. The director had seen her in The East, which is one of those weirdo Brit Marling movies that we all kind of love.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And she had a very small part in it, and he was fascinated by her, so he forced her to get involved. And she was like, I don't even like hip hop. But somehow she managed to take on this role. And the director also wrote it. he wrote all the rhymes in the movie, and they're actually not bad, but I'm telling you, she could have learned how to rap a little bit better. I'm just saying.
So her rapping skills left something to be desired.
For this observer, yes.
Okay. Well.
Is it kind of like a fat white chick version of
8 Mile?
It's a lot like 8 Mile. What's the one in Memphis with Terrence Howard?
Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow.
And you know, I gotta say, as long as I'm going there, and I'm like loath to take down a film that I think, like I said, treats its subjects so humanely, but it does. There is, at this point, there is the classic rapper origin story movie, right? There's all the affiliate cliches. You have a parent who doesn't believe in hip hop. You have some kind of mogul who's like anti the person who's trying to come up the rank. You usually have some kind of cutesy character, in this case, a rapping grandmother played by Kathy Moriarty, which is a little terrifying. So it's cliched and it doesn't pull any
punches.
Are there
any parents who are pro-hip-hop?
My father actually, just to the record, my old man got me the Sugar Hill Gang when I was 6 years old.
Sugar Hill Gang.
He's like, yeah, that's a whole
Rapper's
other story.
Delight.
Yeah, exactly. My dad
song.
Has flaws, but when it comes to my musical education, he does not mess.
Isn't that would be considered the first rap song?
Yeah, that's ground zero, a complicated term these days.
Yeah, Google was talking about this the other day, that the movie that launched breakdance, it launched everything.
Yeah.
It's like 30 years old this week.
Rapper's Delight. It's more than 30.
All right, who's watching? Let me switch.
By the way, what's the first rock and roll song? What's the first rock and roll song?
Rocket 88?
Rocket 88
wasn't,
is correct.
Wait, wasn't Ike, am I wrong that Ike Turner was... Wasn't Ike Turner
that's
one
an
of
Oldsmobile.
The first rock and roll bands?
What do we have for Bill?
Well, it's a new car, yes, and it's the fabulous Oldsmobile Rocket 88.
It's a trip to Tuna, Jamaica. That's right, Bill. We'll fly you in a guest round trip.
Okay,
on
calm down.
Yeah,
come on.
We
only have 45 minutes.
Rocket 88 is considered the first, you know, although there is a song... 60 Minute Man.
I love 60 Minute Man.
Which is used
in Bull Durham. In Bull Durham, dude, I'm on it.
Kevin Costner hooks up with
Susan Sarandon,
and it's a funny song about a guy who holds out. Guy makes love to women.
No, I know the song, but what's the movie? The Costner movie?
Bull Durham. At the end, when they finally hook up, and they start dancing in the kitchen.
Oh yeah.
And lastly, the term rock and roll, which is a euphemism for sex, by the way.
Yes.
First crops up in a song in the 40s by the Boswell sisters called Rock and Roll. And
oh, man,
rock
you've been dying. You've waited your whole life for this moment, haven't you?
If you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, or had you gone to it when they had the outpost in New York, they actually tell you the history of the phrase rock and roll, which is actually supposed to be sex. It's rock and rolling on the bed. All right,
congratulations.
Moving on. Yes, you said since Bill, since we were...
Well, we're talking about strong female leads in motion pictures, and I was going to ask you if you saw... You guys are all watching Billions, and I think Maggie Siff is the best thing about it. She has a new small but effective movie called A Woman Apart.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Have you seen that?
Elizabeth Subrin, who went to high school with her.
Well, it's about a famous actress who walks away from a hit TV show to go to her theater roots and friends. And I've seen it on a couple of platforms. I'm not sure that it's on demand yet, but I thought it was excellent.
It did just hit demand. It's a really strong film. And I mean, I'm not just saying that because she's a hometown honey, but yay.
No, she's great in
for
it.
Newton
and,
North.
You know, I think she is the best thing about Billions, which I know you watch, Neil. And I just think this is better than Billions. I'm not a big fan of Billions. So
me neither.
I don't
watch Billions.
You've talked about it in the past.
No, not Billions.
Really?
You're confused.
No,
I've never seen Billions.
I would guess of the two of us, you're the more likely to be the confused one. But if you say you don't watch Billions,
well,
I think I'd remember seeing it.
I tell you what I am watching that's quite good on television, since this podcast, as you know, Talking Pictures fans, branches out into television, streaming, and you know, many Broadway, as you just talked about. I've missed the Trevor Noah Daily Show this week because they're on break, and I think this is a sad time for them to be on break.
I totally agree with you.
What's going
he's
on.
Really stepped
but
up.
But there's a very he's very good. But I've been watching. It's on once a week, and it's on Tuesday nights, and it's the Jim Jefferies Show. And Jim Jefferies is a very funny comedian, and he was talking last night. Again, we tape on Wednesdays about what's going on. And he did a bit.
What's that on Comedy Central? Where Trevor Noah would be?
10:30 at night.
And what's
Tuesday.
It called? The
it's
Jim
called
Jefferies.
The Jim Jefferies show.
Never heard of this guy.
And well, this guy
is he black?
No, he's Australian.
Okay.
And
which, by the way, those
still,
two facts are
right,
not mutually exclusive.
He could still be.
No, he's a white Australian guy.
Okay, there you go.
And Well, you see, I'm recognizing it as an Australian accent, but it could be British. But pardon me, but I think he's Australian. I think he's an Aussie.
With your eyesight, he could also be black. But let's continue.
But anyway, before the show went on the air, he did a guest spot on The Daily Show, and it was hysterically funny, where he talked about the fact that it's sad that I know everybody. I should not know who is the Secretary of Energy in the Trump administration. He goes, I didn't know who it was during the Obama administration. I know the three name, the maiden name and the married name of the press secretaries. Harris, Zuckerberg. I don't even know who the press
Somebody else is doing that bit, or I've seen this guy. I'm not sure
I think
which
you've
is
seen
the
that,
fact.
But he went through like how he knows everybody in the cabinet. And in Obama, right. He didn't know anybody, and he shouldn't know anybody. It's like everything's going smoothly. I don't need to know the names of these people.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that part of our problem, is that we didn't bother to pay any attention until
Well, I noticed now. That when they put Rick Perry or whoever they put in front of the environmental guy, and they said, well, the Obama guy was like a nuclear physicist, and he had
the Secretary of Energy.
He's the Secretary, and he had PhD and all this stuff, and I'm like, well, that's pretty good, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know that good. But right, I didn't need to know. I just figured that they picked a good guy as opposed to a guy who's anti-environment. Well, Rick Perry.
Can I just say on that subject that I'm very heartened by the fact that the number one tweet of all time
is the Obama
which
tweet.
Used to be Ariana Grande something, is now Barack Obama's tweet about...
Well, it's a quote from Martin Luther King.
From Martin Luther King, with a beautiful picture of him talking to a little black child, a little Asian child, and a little white child.
Right, it's you got to be taught to hate, you know?
Yeah.
You know what?
We aren't born hating other colors. We just learn it. It's just sad.
Wasn't there a song, You've Got to Be Taught to Hate and Fear, from a Broadway musical? You've got to be taught to hate and fear.
I think you should write that musical.
It was a commercial years ago. I don't know. Anyway.
I think it was I'd
we
Like to Buy
went.
The World a Coke.
Yeah, and that was created, Don Draper created that.
Yeah, that's how that happened, definitely.
So we learned that.
TV is where you're getting all of your news.
You know, I was
history.
Talking to my wife the other day. I was really digressing here.
What was the occasion?
Take my wife, please.
That's funny. Somebody said, take my wife, please. Three words. One of the greatest jokes in history. Three words. That's it. Take four words.
It's even funnier when I say it. What?
Four words. Take my wife, please.
It's hotter when you say it.
Most people will say the Bob Newhart show was the greatest television finale of a television series.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. But what?
Wear sweaters.
We were trying to think of the best and the worst television finales.
I actually love...
Oh, you know how this came up? It came up because they watched Orphan Black, a show that you really like, Lisa.
I love Orphan
which
Black.
Which just had its series finale.
Oh, it did?
Yes, it did.
And did they say that was a good one or a bad one?
According to my wife and daughter, they were not dancing over
you know
it.
What?
Obviously,
you know
in
what?
Our memory, Seinfeld is the one that everybody would
well,
say
that's
was the worst.
That's a bad
that one.
That one
tanks.
Well, no, I think The Sopranos the worst one.
I like The Sopranos
Oh, I thought
one.
The Sopranos was
I like,
cool.
I like its ambiguity. But you know which one I really love is 6 Feet Under's finale.
That's what my wife
that
said.
One is phenomenal.
That's what my wife
phenomenal.
Said.
I even it's now, great. Sometimes I watch it when I need to cry. That's
so here's
how good
some good ones. Saint Elsewhere, where the entire
you guys
show
are too old. I don't remember that one.
The entire show was made up in the mind of an autistic child, you know, who was looking at a snow globe of like some building, and that was that hospital there.
Rosebud.
I think Cheers had a very good the series finale.
What about Beverly Hillbillies?
They all got drunk on that one, by the way.
How
remember?
About Creed? Yeah. Petticoat Junction. What a finale. Well, look, none of those shows had
Uncle Joe
finales.
Kept running around.
You know, the story on that is that they put a new head of programming in CBS back in the late 60s.
Yeah, because Babe Haley, because somebody's wife didn't like all the...
And they got rid of all that...
Hee-haw and all that shit.
They got rid of Hee-haw, Green Acres, Petticoat Junction, Beverly Hillbillies, all of that stuff.
Should have done that to the country.
All in the Family, Mary Tyler, because we're going urban. Mary Tyler Moore, MASH, the Bob Newhart show, and it became all urban.
Remember the beginning of Petticoat Junction every week, where the train comes down the tracks, and then you see the three girls swimming in the hotel's water supply?
Yeah, I know.
That's appetizing.
It's happening right now in Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's good, you know. Any favorite series finales?
Not really.
How about you, Bill? Or Lisa?
Well, I said it. 6 feet under.
You masterfully.
Well,
I feel like
I heard
Ed McMahon.
You on the 6 feet.
Everything you'd ever want to know about finales was right there. And now you're supposed to go, no, you were wrong, Yak Breath. And then you've got 10 more.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
I don't know. You know, it's hard to really please an audience when you do a series finale.
Yeah, because we don't...
watching a show for years.
Well, the whole thing is that unlike films, like, we settle into the illusion that TV shows will never end, that there are buddies, you know, and that we don't have to deal with any kind
and
of
I
separation
love that every
anxiety.
Time David Chase gets asked about The Sopranos ending, he says, I don't give a shit. What do you think it meant? You know,
yeah. It's like, well, that's David
was
Chase
Tony killed
or not?
I don't know. What do you think?
But that's how it should be. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, I once read an interview with the author, Marge Piercy, where she said, once you create a piece of work, you send it out into the universe, and that's
boom.
It. It's your.
Yeah.
It's not yours anymore.
John that's
Lennon
how I feel about this podcast.
John Lennon used to always be, when he was asked about his songs, and he was like, oh, you know, this song, didn't it mean this? And he's like, yeah, sure. You know, he would never tell you what the...
It's he's like yeah, Paul's
your,
dead.
Yeah, it's like, it's up to you to interpret what
didn't
the song
Yoko
means.
Just get the right to say she co-wrote Imagine the other day? Like,
oh, really?
It expired from...
Yeah, I'm sure
from
that
McCartney's. Well, I saw it on TV, so it must be true.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Nice.
Well, anyway, moving on. So we're in the dog days of August, as they say, and this is the dumping ground for a lot of movies that, if they were better, they would have come out earlier in the summer. And so I'm looking forward to September, and there's some stuff coming out. The cover of Entertainment Weekly this week is their fall preview issue, and I was looking at it. And there's actually, unlike the summer where it's all this superhero crap that I'm not, although it wasn't a bad summer if you're going to look at superhero crap, I'm looking forward to the more grown-up movies that are coming out. And one
share those with us, Neil.
Well, I'm looking forward to, yeah, I'm old enough to remember the famous Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King tennis match that took place, and there's actually going to be a movie with Steve Carell playing Bobby Riggs.
Doesn't it have two directors?
I don't know, but Emma Stone.
Yes, the same directors who did Little Miss Sunshine, the
That's
husband and
awesome.
Wife team. Yeah.
Oh, and they worked well with Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And Emma Stone's been studying, she said, a lot of...
Carell looks great. I mean, the trailer looks very funny. It's either going to be
Well, it can't be
flat,
serious because the whole thing was like, you know, Riggs pigs and all that stuff, and it was this he was this chauvinistic pig guy, and you know, Lisa can chime in here. And
yes, I'm a chauvinistic
to talk now.
Sex pig.
It's about,
Lisa, you're
it's
allowed
about
to talk. It's about,
right
about
your
sexism.
Allergies. Say something controversial.
Lisa, you're a token feminist.
Patty cakes,
well,
by
anyway,
the way.
I'm looking forward to
called
Battle
August
of the
18.
Sexes, and
what
I'm
else
looking,
you looking
forward
to.
And Bill Cant Brigoli cannot talk about it because he's under gag order, but he did see it, so I'm not going to ask him what he thought, but he did see the movie. I'm looking forward to a movie called Stronger, which is with Jake Gyllenhaal, which is about a true story. Jake Gyllenhaal plays a man who lost his legs during the Boston Marathon
I am
bombing.
Not looking forward to that movie.
It's supposed to be very good.
A, bad Boston accents. B, bad
well,
Jake
you're
Gyllenhaal.
From Boston.
Yeah, Brigoli and I are both from Boston, and we agree
true.
That
we got
the
Boston
accents,
people here.
Boston accents in movies are usually pretty awful.
So that's why you're not looking through.
No, I'm not looking forward to it because I think
them,
Gyllenhaal
be
chews scenery in everything he's in. He's such an overrated actor.
Well, you know I love that movie that you all hate.
No, I like that
love
movie.
Love and Other Drugs?
Despite him.
Oh.
Oh, no, I hate Love and Other Drugs.
Love and Other Drugs is
that
horrible.
That movie is a piece
I
of
I love that
shaitola.
Movie.
Hashtag Neil Wrong again.
Hashtag Rent. Hashtag
you're not allowed to see movies.
Audience, Rent, Love and Other Drugs. It's a good movie.
Hashtag Anne Hathaway's boobs.
Anne Hathaway, good. Okay.
She actually does have quite a rack.
How could you not like that movie? The guy is a washed, he's Willie Loman, crappy salesman, and then he's working for the company. They come out with Viagra.
You know
and
what?
All of a sudden,
just
he's making a fortune.
Neil, just because you're sputtering doesn't mean you're right.
They didn't say that. It's opinions are opinions, but...
You know what movie I want to see that you guys will hate, I think, is The Killing of the Sacred Deer. It's Nicole Kidman, but the big news is that it's another weirdo movie from that guy, Yorgos Lanthimos, who directed The Lobster. And I know all
Lobster.
Of you boys think the first half of the movie is really good,
and
then it falls apart. I love the whole movie. I think it's a genius sort of
the
look.
The ending of that movie is just so
I
horrible.
Love the way that movie looks at how we define ourselves by our relationship
too,
status.
You do, and I'll be thrilled if I hate the first half, but love the second half.
I am dying
time.
To see this movie.
What
I'm so excited. Well, do you know that they're doing a new version of Murder on the Orient Express?
Yeah, I'm not looking
why not?
Forward to that.
I'm sorry, that's got no Sixth Sense ending. Everyone remembers or will tell
you guys are
what
old, and I don't remember it because I was like five
just
when it came out, and I'm in my mid-40s.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it had the first trick ending of anything we ever saw as kids, and
well,
it's like
I honestly think people that for a new generation generation, it will be a discovery. And the cast is awesome. Penelope Cruz, Judi Dench, Willem Dafoe.
Who's playing the Perot character?
Oh, William Branagh is doing Hercule Poirot.
He's also directed it, too.
I'm excited.
You know, I would have rather, if they're going to remake an Agatha Christie movie, a really great old Agatha Christie movie, black and white, is 10 Little Indians.
Yeah,
and that's just terrific.
Yeah, and yet you could never do that movie.
That movie's been made
great movie.
Oh, but you guys, do you know a movie I want to hear your fears and hopes and dreams about? Is the fact that Blade Runner 2 is coming out
Blade
on
Blade Runner 2049 is the
Blade Runner 2.
Yeah, I am so curious. What have you heard about it?
I've only seen the extended trailer.
Actually, I'm writing an article about it for a magazine that comes out in October.
Yes.
So I've been studying up on it, and you've got some recurring characters.
Wait, who's directing?
Villeneuve.
Dennis the guy
Villeneuve.
Who did Arrival. Yeah, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, great.
Oh, my God.
I wish
that
Arrival
was genuine
like
surprise.
See Lisa Rossman's face right
now. Oh, my God. No, I just think Arrival is such an amazing film.
Yeah, it's on my top 10. It's
yeah,
good.
And
this
the
looks
screenwriter
cool.
is the guy who wrote the adaptation for the original movie of Do Aliens Dream.
I just got excited.
Yeah, so it is...
I think the headline is, I thought Harrison Ford had a cameo, and he looks like he's practically co-starring in this with Ryan Gosling.
I've heard that he's in Blade Runner 2.
It's
not up until the third act.
It's not a remake of Blade Runner.
No, it's not.
No.
Yeah, it's
Blade Runner 2049.
It's 30 years. I mean, can you believe the original was set in 2019?
So in 2 years, you're going to be able to fly around Times Square, apparently.
And
there's going to be huge billboards.
Yeah. That's right.
It's hovercraft time, boys.
Don't doubt it. What did Lewis Black said? Where are the flying cars? Where they've been promising me this since I'm here. Where are the flying cars?
We did get talking phones. And
yeah, I know.
Phones.
Well, do you think that'll be any good, Bill?
I think it stands a chance, yeah. Really? You know, the original didn't do all that well in theaters, and
not
critics
originally,
didn't like
yeah.
it.
So it became a cult classic.
It became a cult classic eventually.
Interesting. They're redoing Flatliners, the Keith Sutherland film.
Yeah, with...
Was it Joel Schumacher that did that originally?
Yeah, I think so. That movie is so blah. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know people even watched it.
I know. People are fascinated with death.
I'm fascinated with death, but that movie was dead on arrival.
I'm looking forward to... I know you're not a big Woody Allen fan. I'm really looking forward to Wonder Wheel because it takes place in... it's either the 40s or the 50s in Coney Island.
He's never done that before.
Well, there's that great scene in Annie Hall where he goes, I grew up behind the roller coaster.
And he's actually under the roller coaster.
Didn't he hire a fresh new crop of young actresses to play love
interests? You know who's in it? Justin Timberlake is in it. And I'm trying to think who the female lead is in Wonder Wheel.
Well, isn't it Emma Stone again? Didn't she come back?
No, I don't believe it's Emma Stone.
I thought it was.
Find out who it is, Lisa.
All right, we'll look it up. What else are you looking forward to?
Okay, so there's two Julianne Moore movies that are coming out.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. One is called Wonder House, and that's interesting. It takes place in two different time periods. And the other one is a Joel and Ethan Coen movie that she's in as well. So those are two Julianne Moore.
Well, Joel and Ethan Coen wrote one of the things I'm looking forward to.
Suburbicon, and George Clooney's directing.
Yeah.
Right, Suburbicon. Okay. Yeah. Spoiler alert, he just stole my... Is that on your looking forward to list too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay.
And I'm looking forward to Mother, which is the new
Darren Aronofsky. That movie looks wild.
And Jennifer Lawrence.
Who he's dating now? She's only 20 years younger than him.
He was dating her when we talked to him.
We talked to him at the New Line. Was it New Line's or Fox's Christmas party?
He's a cool guy, Aronofsky. I like all his work, but I got to tell you, I've seen the Mother.
I hated that. The biblical with Russell Crowe.
I love that movie, Noah's Ark.
I love that movie.
Oh,
man.
I think Aronofsky's a great director.
He's kind of creatures.
I think he's an insufferable prick in real life.
I didn't like The Fountain either.
Well, Bill McCuddy loves, which is a great movie, loves Requiem for a Dream. And
I like Black Swan. But this looks like a standard horror film, almost like, I hope it's as good as Rosemary's Baby, but if it's not, it may be flat.
What's with this movie, It, that I'm not looking forward to that's coming out?
What's that? It's the creepy clown movie.
Clown
yeah, it's a Stephen King.
They did this on network television like 20 years ago, in the 90s, I think. Yeah. All right, my list. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Suburbicon, we mentioned the George Clooney thing, but the Coen brothers wrote it. Call Me By Your Name, which is a gay-themed film that's getting unbelievable, maybe like an Oscar contender that I'm looking forward to. Ken Burns is taking on the Vietnam War for 18 hours.
Oh, my Lord.
Only 18 from Ken Burns? Gee, I feel shortchanged.
Oh,
so this is supposed to have the same kind of... in depth that the Civil War had. I think there's lots. I think we see a lot of movies about Vietnam, but I want to spend 18 hours really understanding how we screwed that up so badly. And I have a feeling
I'm actually curious. To see that film.
I like the Fog of War. Will that be on PBS? Yes, PBS. Okay. And finally, on because we cover all platforms now, on Netflix, something called The Meyerowitz Stories by Noah Baumbach has Adam Sandler and Ben Stiller and Dustin Hoffman, and it's an ensemble. And that
with
looks
no
cool.
Women, apparently.
That's coming soon.
Okay, so
no women.
So what I've been doing
no Gentiles either, apparently.
What I've been doing on the show lately is picking things off of YouTube that I think are fun or entertaining or interesting to watch. Somebody compiled, we talked about last week how Letterman is coming back to Netflix with a show, and how he did the Norm Macdonald Live TV podcast. I've been watching, somebody compiled, it's like 5 hours from the old late night with David Letterman, not the CBS show, the much better show that was on NBC, Dave's record collection. And I have to tell you something. If you don't know that bit where Dave takes these obscure, horrendous albums, Brigoli, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's a bit. You mean Lauren Green singing your favorite?
Yes.
Yeah. And Leonard Nimoy does.
And there's six parts
love
of it.
Ballads.
Part
that's
is
true.
Like
William Shatner does a whole astrology.
Well,
album.
That's the famous one. Right. Lucy so in the Sky yes. with Diamonds.
It's
but,
amazing.
But the cuts themselves that he plays. We're going to listen to Leonard Nimoy singing Jingle Bells or whatever it is. And then he has these very funny comments afterwards. There's 6 hours of it up there. You don't have to watch, but it's Dave's record collection, part one, part two. If you want to watch one of them and just laugh, it's very, very funny. I recommend part six, actually, and part five.
As we do every week, we should mention what's new on demand. What's coming on demand? Alien Covenant with Catherine Waterson, Michael Fassbender, Billy Crudup, and Damien Bashir, directed by Ridley Scott. The movie they said you had to see Prometheus first. To understand, and that's where they lost
Nobody
me.
Can
I never saw it.
Prometheus.
I think Catherine Waterson, which is she's the daughter of Sam Waterson. She's been in some great stuff. I think she's going to be great, but I didn't see this. Everything is about an 18-year-old girl confined to a house due to an illness. She meets the boy next door. How to Be a Latin Lover with Salma Hayek, Rob Lowe, Kristen Bell, and Raquel Welch, who's still got it.
Raquel Welch.
Yeah, and new in theaters and on demand this week, something called Pilgrimage. With Tom Holland, he's the new Spider-Man, right?
Right.
Set in the 13th century, they're transporting the Holy Grail or something like that across the country. And finally, because you hated it, Neil, I asked Warner Brothers, and they said you need to see.
I got that too.
You need to see Dunkirk again.
Yeah, I got that.
So go see Dunkirk a second time.
I hated Dunkirk. Let's get Lisa's opinion on Dunkirk.
Oh, it lives in the church of overrated.
Overrated. Yes. There's no story, baby.
Nolan is not a storyteller. Like he's a great. He makes great films in terms of how they look,
Lisa,
but he doesn't tell good stories.
How I am so happy when you're here when we agree. It is just
which is rare.
Such a, well, we will look forward to your return.
Who's the female lead in Wonder Wheel, the Woody Allen movie.
Was I right? Is it Emma Stone?
I didn't find it,
Lisa's going to do that.
Lisa's
in the
doing that, and then she has to go. So our time is over.
Oh, again.
Well, but as always,
we're going to find out.
Will Trump let Neil go home?
Yeah, you're going to get by Trump.
No, he's going to go home with Trump. What? Juno Temple, Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet, there you go. Yeah. That's the female.
Oh, and Debbie Mazar. I do enjoy her when she shows up in films.
And I'm sure Emma Stone has a cameo that's uncredited. All right, so that's our show for today.
Wow, a quickie.
Not really.
48 minutes is not a quickie.
All right, so anyway, next
Bless
week.
You for staying this long.
Next
Whoever's still listening.
What's opening up next week, folks?
We'll find something, don't
We're
worry.
We're going to find something. Hey, Lisa Rossman. Thanks for joining us.
It was a pleasure to see you,
man. You come back in a couple of weeks?
When I get back.
Any
from
plugs?
Cape.
Anything we should go to? A website or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Please check out. I've been writing a lot, not just about TV and film, but about politics on my blog, signsandsirens.com.
There you have it.
Thank you for checking.
We watch the bad movies and Netflix and
Rossman.
Streaming.
I'm so still working on getting talking pictures on the air.
Woohoo.
We'll keep you posted. For Bill McCuddy.
We watch the bad crap so you don't have to.
That's right. For Bill Bregoli.
I'm still waiting for Kathy Moriarty to come home.
There you go. And for me, Neil Rosen, thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. We'll sit around talking movies with you again next week.